بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب هب لي حكما وألحقني بالصالحين واجعل لي لسان صدق في الآخرين. These are some of the du'as made by Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. In a Muslim's life, there are two things. One is effort, call it procedure. And the second is to make it happen. So procedure you can, but making it happen, Allah makes it happen. You can open up a business, do the right marketing, presentation, but who will make the business flourish? Allah. You can sow the seed, right? Who will cause the seed to split, to sprout, to grow, and to fruit? Can you do it? Right? There's intimacy, so the egg and the sperm meets, right? But who will allow it to fertilize and to become alive after it? Nobody can do it. It's his will, he decides, must happen, it will happen. So the best iman is the iman of the Nabi. And therefore Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَاهُمُ اللَّهُ فَبِهُدَاهُ مُقْتَدِي. Speaks about 17 Anbiya alayhi salam. تِلْكَ حُجَّتُنَا آتَيْنَاهَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ كُلًّا هَدَيْنَا وَنُوحًا هَدَيْنَا وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي دَاوُودَ وَسُلَيْمَانَ وَأَيُّوبَ وَيُوسُفَ وَمُوسَى وَهَارُونَ وَزَكَرِيَّا وَيَحْيَى وَعِيسَى وَإِلْيَاسَ وَإِسْمَاعِيلَ وَالْيَسَعَ وَيُونُسَ وَلُوطًا. Right. So he speaks about them and then he says, they are the guided ones. And you also follow them. Address made to Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then a particular address directed to Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ثُمَّ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ أَنِ اتَّبِعْ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا. The address is directed to Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Follow the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Hanif is the one that is devoted, left everything else, dedicated and devoted. So be devoted to Allah Ta'ala. So now, the iman of the Nabi is the most perfect iman. You can't think of an iman that is above the iman of a Nabi. But you see, nearly every Nabi is putting procedures together, things together. Whatever procedures he's supposed to be following, but at the end is begging Allah Ta'ala. Ibrahim alayhi salam did everything, and then at the end he says, "Rabbana taqabbal minna." Allah will make it happen. You accept this thing. I've done everything now. But that acceptance is your call, it's your decision. Put the bricks up, everything we've done. But for this place to be accepted, that's your decision. So, they so spot on in that regards that it can't happen just with our effort. And also, it puts us in the back foot that we don't become overconfident of ourselves. See, again, look at the words, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا. تَقَبَّلْ is on the wazan of تَفَعُلْ, right? And تَفَعُلْ has some resemblance with تَكَلُّف. In other words, it's not done, love of make it happen. I say make it happen. That's called تَكَلُّف. Right? So Allah Ta'ala, my actions will not warrant an acceptance. That's what he's saying. My actions do not warrant an acceptance. But O Allah Ta'ala, you make it happen, make it accepted. you grant acceptance. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ تُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Now, to emphasize the point, then Allah Ta'ala brings about His attributes. وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. And you direct your mercy and your attention towards us. You direct your attention and your acceptance towards us. You know, when we go to someone, and what people say, they see us right. Don't we say that? See me right, please. Boss. If today now you want any job from anybody, boss. Bowser boy, boss A, how's it? So you make him feel big. Now, here it's with conviction, إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. You are إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ, with the emphasis إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. You're the only one that can make this right, can make it happen. You accept it, Allah Ta'ala. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. It's you will focus your attention, your compassion, that will make this work. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. So there's so much of life in this du'as. But then, unfortunately, the du'as we make is just a little bit of a, just some words that we are just passing on. Some words, some vocabulary that we have learned, and we are just reading it. So dua is not supposed to be read, it's supposed to be begged. Not read, begged. So try and learn the meaning, otherwise read, make the dua in your own language. The attributes of Allah Ta'ala, give it in Arabic. The du'as in the language that you can talk. So you will ask Allah Ta'ala and you will beseech Him in the honor of His attributes. فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. So you ask Allah Ta'ala and beg Him with His attributes. Now I was thinking, why with His attributes? Because when you're going to be asking Him with His attributes, it will strengthen your conviction, your confidence, love of you will make it happen. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Doesn't it strengthen your conviction? And Allah likes that. أَنْتُمْ مُلِحِينَ فِي الدُّعَى. And then, مُقِنُونَ بِالْإِجَابَةِ. That you're making dua with that yaqeen that Allah is going to accept your dua. So you strengthen that yaqeen, how? By using the attributes of Allah Ta'ala. So you say, يَا وَاسِعَ الْفَضْلِ. So you're saying yourself, Allah, what I'm doing, right, what I'm saying won't make things happen. My deeds won't make it happen. Yes, it is your fadl that will make it happen. إِنَّكَ عَفُونَ. See how you're starting the dua. إِنَّكَ عَفُونَ تُحِبُّ الْعَفْوَ. Allah, you are forgiving and you like this. So Allah, do forgive me. Last week I was speaking, I don't know where I was speaking now, sometimes you lose count, you're speaking here, there. So, after the talk, because all temperaments, thoughts, etc. And that's why I say, the importance of aligning ourselves to our elders. There's a lot of wisdom, a lot of security, but only time will save. And without the help and the guidance of your elders, then you taking your own line. You're going one side, he's going something else. There's no security on that. I ask you, why do you make taqleed? Hadith is there, the Quran Sharif is there. Why do you make taqleed? You make taqleed because there's some security there. And away from taqleed, you're gone. But the need to follow someone, not to become independent, to follow someone. So I was giving one talk somewhere. After the talk, one person related something from his friend that was also in the talk. So the Mustabi Singh must ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness, but what wrong I have done? Alright, now to give another talk to explain now why, what's the need to make istighfar. But you see that diversity in thought. He's a born Muslim, it's not that he's a new Muslim, not a convert, born Muslim. But this is the type of question that he's asking, that what's the need to make tawbah? What wrong have I done? Whereas when you look within yourself, that I don't see anything that's right. Your namaz that you perform now, how many of us can say that we read it at the level of وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ? How many of us can say it? Cannot any of us. That is his karam and his fazl, that our broken down things also he's saying on our mind. Ye kuch mehnat karte hum isko qubool karte hain, kuch nahi mere bande, he's trying. He knows that it's all reject, right? He knows that it's reject. But yet, he crowns it with perfection and accepts it. See, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا. So he'll crown it with perfection and he will embrace you with acceptance. So you see, every Nabi is doing the same thing. He's begging. This, Allah Ta'ala humein rona sikha de. Teach us to cry, to beg and to plead to Allah Ta'ala. That's what we're lacking. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَضَرَّعُونَ فَلَوْلَا إِذْ جَاءَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا تَضَرَّعُونَ. When they're seeing problems, then why don't they cry? Why don't they come and beg to us? إِذْ جَاءَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا تَضَرَّعُونَ. Why don't they do it? See how Allah is complaining. فَلَوْلَا إِذْ جَاءَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا تَضَرَّعُونَ. Why don't they cry? وَلَكِنْ قَسَدْ قُلُوبٌ. By now, the wrongs had the better of them. They consumed and the hearts are hardened. So you'll see the same feature in every Nabi. Ibrahim Alayhi Salaam, so many of his du'as, right? So can you find a Muslim more perfect as a Nabi? Can you find? And Ibrahim Alayhi Salaam then being the Abul Anbiya, the father of Anbiya's, right? I mean Dhurriyati, right? From his progeny, there's so many Anbiya's coming up, right? So he's the father of Anbiya. But then when he's a father of Anbiya, can you say that there's any weakness in his Islam? No. But when he's pleading to Allah Ta'ala, the dua, رَبَّنَا وَجْعَلْنَا مُسْلِمَيْنَ لَكَ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِنَا أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً لَكَ. That asks for me and for my progenies that we become proper Muslims. Can you see that? He's doing everything, building the Kaaba Sharif, accepting himself to be thrown into the fire, slaughtering his child, do everything what Allah Pak wants. But then, after everything, he still says, رَبَّنَا وَجْعَلْنَا مُسْلِمِينَ لَكَ. Can you see that? رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا. Ki hum qabooliyat ke like to nahi. We are not worthy of acceptance. But Allah will make it happen. When we look within ourselves, you know, what do we deserve? And this is not the actual price. The world what you get, it's not the price. It's just a little bit of encouragement. Don't mind. Eat this, take this. That's not the price. The price is there. Right? Although the price is there, but he also so much he gives. Dete hai to chappar phaad karke dete. He gives so much as though he tears open the roof and gives you so much. I ask any of you, do you know how many sets of kurta you got? Do you know? You lost count. Right? Is it a fact or not? Right? Do you know what's in your freezers? Huh? How much is in the freezers? Huh? Why should you use the word spewing out? Say, don't say spewing out, that word is not right. Say spilling out is alright. Spewing is a little bit of a dirty, nauseated word, right? Maybe some said that person, don't say khabusat nafsi, say laqisat. That thing is, that khabusat is a little bit of a hard word. Right? Laqisat is a little bit of a light word. I say spewing out the way my mind goes. Yeah? Mind goes somewhere else. Yeah? Sometimes some words, because of the person's profession. Like he says, you know, he's taking a shot in the dark. That person may be an archer or something. So you lose the word shot. You can say speculating, you say take a shot in the dark. So you use to some profession and you use that type of words, right? But anyway, we're talking of dua. And the dua of the Anbiya alayhi salam, and see the life in the dua. Now one thing, I just have to revise with you, it's better for us, in fact it is safe for us to make du'as that are in conformity with the Quran and the Hadith, right? Because some of the du'as we can make may be just pure temptation. What? It may be pure temptation. We don't even realize it. Allah Pak, you know, I drove this Corolla some time now. What's that other word? Parado, yeah. Allah Pak, Parado now. Somebody, the thing is doing your work. Isn't it doing your work? Parado, Allah Pak, Lexus, man. See, all my friends in my circle got a Lexus. See, I'm looking like a broken down Johnny. What they think of me? Allah Pak, give me Lexus. So what is this? So you don't make that type of du'as. Because there can be a combination of nafs into it. And there can be complications in that. Right? Complications, how they come. Sometimes I will explain these things, these basic things, basic concepts. Right? So there is one Jamila Apa, right? So she is the only Jamila Apa. She is like Miss Spingo or Miss World, she must be, right? 100 people are making dua with Miss Jamila. Allah Pak, she must be my wife. Now, can it happen? If Allah Pak accepts everybody's dua, that Jamila Apa will become Kachumar. Isn't it? You'll get one tail end, you'll get a small little bit here, a little bit here. Allah Pak accepts everybody. There's only one Jamila Apa, and everybody wants the same Jamila Apa. What's going to happen? So that's why I say, rather you make duas that conform with the duas of Rasul Pak Sarsam, and the Quran Sharia, Quran and Hadith. So there is no contamination of nafs. See? And you making other du'as, I don't say it's impermissible, sometimes you can make. But a lot of times, when you're making other du'as, then there's a contamination. There's a nafs and there's a du'a. So nafs and du'a. Nafs and du'a. So therefore, Ibn Atta Iskandari, Rahmatullah Ali, says, by although dua mukhul ibadah, it is the essence of ibadah, but that is for the person who is cleansed from the razail of the nafs. The weaknesses, the wrongs, the dirt of the nafs has been flushed out of his system. If he is making dua, then there will be no contamination of nafs. Otherwise you are making dua for all worldly things, all temptations you are making dua for. So you see this du'as of the Anbiya alayhi salam, and how beautiful, how exciting. He's making a du'a, وَجْعَلِّي لِسَانَ صِدْقٍ فِي الْآخِرِينَ. Prayer of Islam, وَجْعَلِّي لِسَانَ صِدْقٍ فِي الْآخِرِينَ. Simple explanation is, grant me a good name in the generations to come. Simple translation, right? What? A good name in the generations to come. So now, you heard this dua, and then you heard one talk in the Tabligh Jamaat, no name, no fame. Hey, but this dua is saying, give me a good name in the generations to come. Now, how do you reconcile? You must have heard, right? Some alim speaking, no name, no fame, right? But now you are making dua, waj'alli lisana sidqin fil akhirin. Give me a good name in the generations to come. So the Mufassirin explained this, right? So it takes a little bit of time to understand the content of this dua. So the name and the fame that the Quran or the Hadith is condemning is what? That worldly name and fame. What? Worldly name and fame. But if it is something connected to deen and the hereafter, then it's not a thing that is to be condemned. With three conditions. Imam Ghazali says three conditions. One is you got a name, or you want a name, not to boast and brag over people. Not to boast and brag over people. See, I made so much of khatam, how much he did. Look at my kirat. What is he? My students, see how they recite. See, he's really broken down. He messed his whole jalsa, he messed it up. See how easy. So what you want to do? You're bragging about, boasting about yourself or your products. Sometimes you are boasting about yourself, sometimes you are boasting about your products. And this things, this nafs comes in very ajeeb, very unique ways. You think you are doing something deeni, but it may be purely dunya. Or it may be a contamination, 70% contamination of dunya. So the nafs is a very difficult thing. Don't think it's so easy. So the first condition, he says, that provided you don't boast and brag about yourself. With that, you don't despise. See me, see my recitation. Let's compare with these people here. See me, and see this person here. So you want the name, but in the process of you achieving the name, either you are boasting or either you are despising someone. So Imam Ghazali rules it out by no boasting and no despising. Shah Sahib Rahmatullahi, he says, you see, there's laws and deeni aspect sometimes related to zahir things, right? Things that are apparent, namaz, roza, zakat. There you must refer to the ulama of the zahir. Ulama that have learned the zahir. Because they have got books, fiqh, etc., Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullahi. Then you got things that are related to spiritual things, right? Matters of deen, but they are related to the spiritual self, hasad, takabbur, etc. So then you look at the experts that have expertise in spirituality. So that's why I'm quoting Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi. It's a very balanced statement. This is, he's got an expertise on zahiri things, and he's specialized in batini things. So the knowledge and the experience, the exposure he has of the batini, this person doesn't have. Or he hasn't written about it. He may have had it, but he didn't write about it. And this person has written about the zahir, but he has not written about the batin. Or he doesn't know about it. He doesn't know the details. Maybe he hasn't written, or he doesn't know the details. What a balance. Now this mutaqaddimin, they had this balance. And now in this generation, there's no balance. Because my sheikh is everything. What he says is final. Right. That's the attitude we have. And these people in the past, alright, he's an expert on the zahir, he's an expert on the batin. I need to get both right. Get the zahir right, get the batin right. Hazrat Jalaluddin Thanissari, rahmatullahi, he was an expert in fiqh, a mufti, and some of his kitabs are in our library. I saw it some many, many years ago now. I don't know if it's still there. So our library is not supervised well. Taking a walk, all the kitabs are taking walks. Allah will give us someone, librarian. So, one person used to go to Shah Abdul Quddus Sahib Rahmatullahi. Now the Shah Abdul Quddus Sahib Rahmatullahi was an alim as well, but he wasn't an expert in fiqh. He was an alim, but not an expert in fiqh. So he would also recommend, and people also know it, or he's an alim, but he's not an expert in fiqh, etc. For fiqhi matters, I must refer to someone else. So he would do it himself, and he would refer his muridin for fiqhi matters and refer to him. See the balance. So, one person used to be bayat at the hands of Shah Abdul Quddus Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. Fiqhi matters, he would go to Jalaluddin Thanissari Rahmatullah Alayh. Right. Now this Hazrat Jalaluddin Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, initially he wasn't into tasawwuf and the batin, etc., not into suluk. So when this person would come to him, he would say, tumhare nachanya sheikh kaise hai, tumhare nachanya peer kaise hai. Your swinging peer, nauzin. Your swinging peer, that's making a zikr or whatever, and he's swinging. Sometimes, you know, that ecstasy, you can't contain it, and you're swinging around. So your swinging peer, nauzin. Now, he can't tell him anything because he needs the direction, director of deen, the fatwas he needs. You say, hey, don't swear my sheikh, he may get upset. If he gets upset, then who's going to guide me in my fiqhi matters? And he doesn't want to report it to his sheikh as well, his peer as well, because he doesn't know what the peer will respond. How will he respond? He doesn't know. But now one day he couldn't take it. When he couldn't take it, he went and related the whole thing to the priest. See, I go to this person here for my maslahs, and he's telling me, tumhara nachaniya peer kaise hai? You're swinging peer nawzi. So Hazrat Shah Abdul Quddus Sahib rahmatullah alayhi told him, alright, now if he tells you that word, if he says you the word, so you must tell, what you must say? You must say this much, ke wo nachaniya hai aur dusre ko bhi nachate hai. If he ever asks you again, this is the answer he must give, that he swings and he will swing you also around. So he went to the Shah Jalaluddin Sahib for some masla, and Jalaluddin started him again. You know, people like some little bit of excitement. Incitement, people like that. So he said, no, I spoke to my sheikh. The sheikh says, khud nachaniye aur dusre ko bhi nachate. He also swings and he can make you swing as well. The moment he said this now, he can't stop swinging. Can't stop swinging. Hey, just calm down. He can't stop it. He had to come to Shah Abdul Quddus Sahib rahmatullahi, and he became one of the leading khalifas of the Shah Abdul Quddus Sahib rahmatullahi. He became such a great person after that in his zamana. This is now Shah Abdul Quddus Sahib. Is about four centuries away, four or five centuries away. Right. So this Jalaluddin Sahib became such a great person afterwards. See, these people's hearts were good. It wasn't flawed. The goodness that comes out of you is proportionate to the goodness of the heart, remember. The heart must be very good. See, the goodness of the body is proportionate to the goodness of the heart, spiritually and physically. Heart is good, spiritually and physically, everything goes well. That's why Allah says, قَدَ فُلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. Right. So anyway, we're talking of the Shah Jalaluddin Thanesi rahmatullahi alayhi. So they have this fairs, you know, you have yearly Ansar fair and all that, right? Though the fair is very unfair, right? And I say it's very unfair because the souk was named after Jews. Souk Banu Qaynuqa, Souk Uqaz, either after some mushrik or some Jew. Now why they to pull the Ansar's name to say Souk Ansar? I say, is it fair of them? Very unfair. That means they're trying to show the Ansars and all that they're only business people. Why? Their whole life was in jihad, right? The whole life was in striving for deen. Right? In the midst of the jihad, one person, he's launching the attack. وَرُومُ مُلْسِقُوا زُهُورَهُمْ. The whole Roman army is looking after their fortress, right? And one Muslim, before the battle can start, he launched the attack. When he launched the attack, one single-handed, one person said, you know, hey, mah mah, la tulku bi aydikum ila tahluka. Don't throw yourself into destruction. So Abu Ayyub Ansari rahmatullahi radiyallahu anhu said, bhai, that's not the reason for revelation. This hadith wasn't brought on that occasion. This hadith was about us. This hadith, Yunus Ansar, Abu Ayyub Ansar is one of the leaders of the Ansar, right? This hadith, Rasul Paksam had mentioned, it was directed to us. And how was it directed to us? It was directed to us like this, that when Islam had made numerous victories and we were winning and things were getting settled, a lot of wealth was pouring to Medina Munawwara. So we began to discuss amongst ourselves that we did enough for Islam now. Let's attend to our businesses. Our farms, our businesses, let's attend to that. Because we did enough for Islam. So on that occasion, this verse was revealed. لَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَ. Don't you contribute towards your own destruction. That means attending to your farm and business, etc., and not too concerned about deen is throwing yourself into destruction. And your security, your prosperity is the effort for deen. You know, explaining the class this last week, because we're doing the Kitab al-Jihad. It's coinciding at the right time, Afghanistan jihad is going on. So it's nice chapters are coming in. So everybody's interested, I'm getting interested, they're getting interested. So I told the class, I looked all the hadiths, I won't say all now, but whatever I've seen, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, but I saw the most reward, the greatest reward was for Rabat. So Rabat, what is Rabat? Rabat is guarding the Islamic frontiers. That's the most reward, greatest reward. I was supposed to talk about something else, moving in different directions, right? So then I asked them, alright, why is it that, what is Rabat, number one? And number two, why is it the reward for Rabat is the greatest? So Rabat is to look after the frontiers of Islam. And the reward for it is the greatest. I say, why it is the greatest? Because even though they say that these three deeds, right, sadaqatun jariya, waladun salihun yad'ulahu, or ilmun yuntafa'u bihi, they say the reward for these three is continuous, right? Pious child, sadaqa jariya is continuous. But this one here, rabat, yanmulahu ila yawmil qiyamah, it carries on right till the day of qiyamah. So now, they are comparing, the muhaddisin are comparing, right? Sadaqa jariya hadith with Rabat hadith. So what's the difference? This is sadaqa jariya, continuous. Rabat also continuing, but right to the day of Qiyamah. So the difference they find is sadaqatun jariyatun, right? The thing stops as that good work stops, right? You put up a madrasa, Allah Pak allow it to continue till the day of Qiyamah. But the day that madrasa stopped, your sawab is dried. You put up a well, right? The day the well dried, your sawab is stopped. That's what the muhaddisin say, right? And I like to go by their statements, rather than saying our own things, rather go by their statements, because they got treasures of knowledge. We're just quoting here. Nothing but quoting. What? No, there's no semblance. Our knowledge, there's no semblance. Right. And when you talk of the Rabat, then that reward carries on till the day of Qiyamah. Right. Doesn't stop, no stoppage. Now, then I asked the class, alright, there's two things. One they asked me and one I explained. So, that Rabat, the person that is looking after the Islamic frontier, so what is the effect of his guarding the frontier? I said, every Islamic activity that is taking place is because of his looking after the frontier. Jamaats are moving, right? There's madrasas, musallis are coming for namaz, children are going to maktabs, etc. It's because of what? It's because of this person looking after the frontier. I ask you, if the frontiers weren't guarded, would they have been able to move? Actively move around. They're looking after that. So every Islamic activity is taking place. Namaz, parda, no woman is harassed. Everything is done too perfect, right? Because of these people here. So they're doing two things. One is they're looking after the Muslim. And number two is they're preserving Islam. They're looking after Muslims and they're preserving Islam. Aren't they doing that? So that's the essence of life, that you preserve Islam and look after Muslim interest. The third is then promote Islam, right? So what they doing, what a great work they are doing, right? So all the activity that is taking place, this person has got a good share in it. So his reward carries on. Allama Qurtubi got about 10 hadiths about these people here that do their rabat, right? But that reward is such that one day of the rabat is like 1 month roza, 1 month fasting. Number three, the third reward is yu'manu anil fattan. That means he's going to be saved from all the trials of the grave. Munwani al-Fattan. Every trial is gone. That means he was just die and he's gone. He's just die and he's gone straight to Jannah. No problem in between. He's gone straight. So now one student, quite a good child. So he said, but now, any way for us to get this thing, man? Because you can hardly see an Islamic country. You can hardly see an Islamic country. When you don't see an Islamic country, then which borders you going to be guarding? The reward is immense. And I say, in my understanding, I haven't seen a hadith, I haven't seen a reward as great as this. Right? So great is the hadith. So great is the reward. Right? Because your reward is continuous. Imagine, from now to Qiyamah, they don't know how many years it will take. Right? But your reward is not stopping. So I can see now, Bishara is too depressed now. Anyway, we get that reward. So I explain to Muhammad Shafi Sahib, Rahmatullah, he's got a hadith, right? It's in Mishkat and other kutub of the Sunnah as well. He says, do these three works and you will get that reward. One is, Isbaghul wudu'i alal makari. Right? Doing a complete wuzu, even though it's difficult at times, right? Doing a proper wuzu. Now, in the winter it becomes a little bit difficult that you're doing the wuzu complete. Complete means do the sunnah and don't waste. Don't waste. See that, like many a times, you've got the tap running and washing our face. So isn't the water getting wasted? So see how you're going to economize. Do it right. Do it sunnah. Don't undo the wuzu. Do it right, but without wastage. Isbaghul wudu'i al-makari. Do it properly and see that it's complete. And you'll get the same reward of Rabat. So second is Muntizaru Salati Ba'da Salah. You read one namaz, you're just waiting. Hey, next namaz, when is it going to come? Next namaz, when is it going to come? You're just waiting for it, isn't it? Who made this? Yeah, I can't. Something I want to discuss, I can't discuss it now. You're just married now, right? So, now, one day, you had one day, alright? And then that's a tradition now, she must go to the mother's place, whatever, and see everybody. But the husband, what is waiting for now? Raat kab aayegi? Doesn't he wait for that? Raat kab aayegi? It's gonna come, it's gonna come. Doesn't he wait for that? I'm just using him as an example, but all of you went through the same thing, right? We're like two pious now. All went through the same thing, right? Raat kab aayegi? Isn't it? And if she's not there, you can't sleep. You're turning around this side, that side. When is she going to come? So that is the type of feeling he's got for namaz. Right? That is the feeling he's got for namaz. When is that next namaz coming in? I can see Allah Ta'ala, talk to him, make dua to him, praise him, thank him for all what he's done for me. Right? So that's the second thing. Wantizaru salati ba'da salah. Right? And the third is kasratul khuta ila al-masajid. Steps to the masjid, walking to the masjid, yeah? Walking, coming, going, coming, going. He didn't say kasratu sayyarat ila al-masajid. Did he ever say kasratu sayyarat ila al-masajid? No, walking to the masjid. Kasratu khuta ila al-masajid. But you can walk by. You're not going to get these opportunities again. You're not going to get these moments again. You can walk. Why come with the car? Having a problem with the parking area, all that. Every step you're taking, and there's a reward. But in that, remember, Salatum ba'da salatin la laghun baynahuma kitabun fil illiyin. Two namazes, right? Two namazes. In between, you didn't do anything wrong. Vanity, pride, futile talks, nothing. Not that it was serious, but nothing that was doubtful, wrong, didn't hurt anybody, you didn't get into anything. Kitabun fil illiyin. Your name is all recorded upstairs. In the Ala Illiyin, your name is recorded. The highest of the high. See that? Now, then again, I went and seen these three hadiths. I'm thinking to myself, what is the common thing in these three hadiths? Is Baghul Wudu al Makari, Wantizaru Salati Ba'da Salah, Kasratul Khuta ila al Masajid. She, There's a lot people talk about it, express it in different ways. In English they speak about it like this, look after the cents or look after the pennies, and the pounds look after itself. What it means, and in Arabic they will say al-himyatu khayru du'a, right? So you look after the borders. What? Look after the borders. Borders would mean, in our context about deen, borders would refer to the sunnahs and the mustahab, etc. Right? Look after that, and your whole deen will be taken care of. The adab, you know, the things of adab. You take care of the things of adab. Namaz and all that, the sunnahs is called the adab. In day-to-day life, that additional things that you will do for your parents or your elders, etc., that's called adab. Right? So when you will have that adab, right, then that is a protection for your entire deen. And the day you lost the adab, your whole deen, you have lost the security, it's gone. Now, it's such a simple thing, but we don't register, right? I can call Mulana Junaid, I can call him, right? But for an ordinary person, for him to say, Junaid, come here, is not right. And if his children call him, then you say, be adab. Won't you say that? But the word they use, was it the right word or the wrong word? It was the right word. But that one word makes such a big difference. What was short in it? The thing that was short in it was there was no adab in that. Wasn't it? You can raise your voice and talk to your parents, you can raise, right? And you can talk to them softly, respectfully. So you convey the same message. But I ask you, isn't there a world of difference in both the person's address? He addressed in one way, he addressed in a different way. So what was the missing link? The adab. The adab makes such a big difference. Now, this adab, don't consider it as something insignificant. Anything in your social life, domestic life, in your dini life, but that adab thing, that brings about the color, it brings about the sweetness. And minus the adab, there is the body, but no sweetness. I ask you, would you ever eat a chocolate without sugar? So that sugar is like the adab. Do you ever think of eating? They say, hey, give this dawa to someone else. Won't you say that? Won't you say that? So what brings about the flavor is the sweetness. And you pull out that sweetness, it still appears as a chocolate. The wrapping is there, the appearance is the same, everything is, the texture looks like the same. But I ask you, would you eat more than one piece? Someone says, oh, it's very healthy for the health, you just eat one piece, but you can enjoy the health. Won't you say that? You can enjoy the health, for my health this is enough. Won't you say that? So the adab is the thing that brings about this. Now when you look at these three things, is bawul wudu, being a property. You can make this faraz wudu and carry on, but is bawul wudu al makari. Wantizaru salati ba'd as-salah. You can come in, you can rock into the masjid at the last hour, right? But you waiting, when is namaz time? See this, borders, these things that are coming at the end, you're looking after that. You're looking after, you're conscious about that. And the third thing is, kasratul khuta, you can come by car, you can run and come, but you're taking small steps, respectfully coming to the masjid, going, coming, going, coming, going, coming. You're doing it in this way. And the hadith saying, ذَلِكُمُ الرَّبَاطِ ذَلِكُمُ الرَّبَاطِ ذَلِكُمُ الرَّبَاطِ. So Allama Qurtubi Rahmatullah says, I have got yaqeen, if you practice this three, you will get that reward. So I tell the student, right, do what you can do. Now you're waiting for that day, Imam Mahdi will come, and then you do this, and all. Right, maybe you don't get that day. You don't, idhar ke rahe na udhar ke rahe. What you can achieve, achieve it now. The day he comes, then you support him as well. But now, in anticipation of that man, you're not doing anything now. Isn't it a loss? This a similar thing comes on these big nights. You see, like you got Shab-e Qadr, right? And you got the odd nights of Ramadan. Then you got Shab-e Barat, right? The rewards that are mentioned, right? So obviously, the greatest portion of the night is the latter portion, the last. Portion of the night, last 2-3 hours of the night, that's the greatest. But now you're not sure that you'll get up at that portion of the night. You may get up to keep the roza, etc. But now you don't know you'll engage in ibadat or you won't engage in ibadat. Now, in anticipation of getting up at that portion of the night, you go and sleep in the first portion. And you delayed. Something happened. You got this half an hour. Say, hey, I must have sari because tomorrow is roza. So all your time is gone in sari. So, what our awliya, what they say, why the night starts, in these big nights, the night starts from maghrib. So what you can achieve from maghrib, achieve that. Because nafil namaz, zikr, Quran says tilawat, after isha you can do something, do it. You got up at the latter portion, the nurun ala nur. You've already got something, and this is, you know, cherry on the top, more and more you've got. But now in anticipation, you were loitered around, spoke about things, you wasted your time. Now the last half an hour you're trying to recoup. Have you got what you're supposed to be getting? So we're talking about dua, right? And I'm showing you this Ibrahim al-Islam's dua. وَجْعَلِّي لِسَانَ صِدْقٍ فِي الْآخِرِينَ Imam Ghazali says, provided it's supported with these three conditions. You're not bragging and boasting of yourself, not despising. But I want a good name, not to despise. Not to boast and brag. I have to give one talk somewhere, sometimes back, right? So, I said, by advice, don't you despise. What? Advice, don't despise. Well, Abdul Hamid Sahib heard that word, said, what you said? He's, Mawaz is like very natural. No takalluf, you know. As it is, so it's very easy to get along. So he says, what? What did you say? He said, advice, but don't despise. Advice, don't despise. You despise the person, have you got anything? You ran him down, did you get anything? You smashed him, you got anything? You didn't get anything. So advise, but don't despise the person. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيُؤْتِي بِالرِّفْقِ مَا لَا يُؤْتِي بِالْعُنْفِ And Aisha was very upset, very, very upset. That Yahudi that had been vulgar to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Been vulgar, that vulgarity was very upset. And she said, وَعَلَيْكُمُ السَّامُ وَعَلَيْكُمُ وَلَعْنَةُ اللَّهُ وَغَدَبُ اللَّهُ She was upset, and it was right for her to be upset. But Rasulullah stopped her. إِيَّاكَ وَالْأُنْفَ Don't use this aggressive, don't be aggressive. Won't be aggressive. مَا يَكُونُ الرِّفْكُ فِي شَيْءٍ إِلَّا زَانَهُ وَلَا يُنْزَوْ عَنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا شَانَهُ But when this humble, soft approach, a good approach, in a situation, it beautifies the whole thing. But if it's pulled out, then it spoils everything. But I ask you, for that vulgarity, wasn't she right to use that approach? But then to Rasulullah Paksa said, but Ya Rasulullah, didn't you listen to what he said? Yes. But didn't you listen to my answer? My answer was, Wa alayk, finished. So, whatever it was, it's great class, right? But I didn't have to stoop down and become vulgar. I just said, Wa alayk, first class. The story ended up there. So you advise, but you don't despise. And this is a long story now, right? I won't complete these 3 points of Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah. The second point Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah says that you're asking وَجْعَلِّي لِسَانَ صِدْقٍ فِي الْآخِرِينَ right? So the second point that he mentions is provided there is no mudahanat, right? Not making any compromise in deen. What? So I want a good name, so in looking for a good name I have to compromise, make things work like. Otherwise, I won't achieve a good name. I will lose my name. So just to secure my name, I will have to compromise some way or the other. Right? Someone is giving a talk here, right? Someone is giving a talk, and he's a good speaker, right? Orator, good speaker. And someone is now videoing him. So, in a respectful way, just stop that video. It's not permissible. Right? Now, it can be that to get a good name, I say, now, you know, I want to be a person that everybody respects, that everybody likes and all that. let me compromise on it, on this thing here. I won't talk about it, but I won't speak about it. My name will be protected. So now this type of compromise is not right. See, the compromise, in this type of a situation, you're compromising for a deeny thing. In a deeny thing, when you are compromising, then it's not right. So you see, the first was that you don't brag and boast about yourself, then you don't despise the person. And the last is this, that you don't compromise. Any deeny thing, you don't compromise. In earning a good name, you didn't compromise any principle of deen. Then for such a person, it's alright. And the third is this, that you're not doing this for any type of a material reward. I'm asking for a good name, not for a material gain. So then why is it commendable to make this type of a dua? So it's commendable to make this type of a dua for this reason, because, see, you've got a good name, right? Then people will see that you got a good name. When you got a good name, then they will emulate your works. Your examples that you left behind, they will emulate. Right? When they will emulate your examples, then who's reaping the reward? You reaping the reward. So you had a good name, not for any type of worldly benefit, no, not worldly advantage, purely for deen. It's only for deen that you got a good name. Then people hear the good name. When they hear the good name, they want to follow. Right? You hear of a brand, and it's a popular brand, it's got a good brand, Woolworths, you also want to buy it. It's got a good name, right? You just buy it. Just close your eyes, go there and buy it. Why it's Woolworths? Why it's a good name, right? Doesn't it happen? Right? So similarly, they see, alright, this is a good alim now, it's a good person, right? It's got a good name. So say, close your eyes and follow him. Don't they say that? But when they follow him now, who's going to get the returns? He'll get all the rewards he's going to get. He left a good name, a good legacy, so they're going to be following him. When they follow him, his rewards will increase. So this is not coming, it's not going against the verse, تِلْكَ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةُ نَجْعَلُهَا لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُرِيدُونَ عُلُوًا فِي الْأَرْضِ. See that عُلُوًا فِي الْأَرْضِ, that supremacy on this earth here, yeah, worldly name, not a worldly name. He wants it for the reason, for the akhirat. So his name shines in the akhirat, people emulate him, whether he's alive or he's gone, his rewards are returning. But then he must see to it that he doesn't mess it up in these three conditions. No boasting, no bragging, etc. No material gains. And number three, there is no type of compromise in deen. Then it's permissible, otherwise not right. So now look again at this dua that he made. I spoke about it on Friday. Rabbi habli hukma wa alhikni bis salihin. So the first thing that he asked for, before that dua, I must say that, see, Allah makes it happen. You made the effort, but you can't rely on your effort. You have to rely entirely on His mercy. See, when Dawud alayhi salam is making dua, وَأَدْخِلْنِي بِرَحْمَتِكَ, what? وَأَدْخِلْنِي, just by your grace, Allah Ta'ala, admit me into the righteous. Not because of my greatness, my ingenuity, my striving, etc. No. أدخلني برحمتك. الله أكبر.